Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8. Nehemiah in chapter 8. It is a joy to be with you tonight. I have been looking forward to coming and being back here at the Grace Baptist Church. And my, what a great crowd. I started to say a good-looking crowd, but anyway, what a great crowd. I'm so glad that you're here. And Jeremy and I have been looking forward to coming on this trip together. And typically I fly into the area because of the distance, but we enjoyed all of the trip, and we have really had a good time together, and Brother Bush has been so kind to us, as he always is. And I will tell you, I've eaten in a lot of places and enjoyed. One of my favorite foods is pizza. I never had a pizza like I had today, and I can always eat two, maybe three pieces of pizza. I couldn't even eat one of them today. That's the biggest pizza I ever had. And but anyway, I'm not finished. I'm not finished with that. I'll revisit that pizza. Yes, but anyway, and what a joy it is to see a good crowd tonight, and to see in every year, to see new faces and to see growth in the church. And every week I enjoy hearing the good blessings of the Lord from Grace Baptist Church. And I'm thankful. I appreciate your faithfulness and what God is doing. You know, in church, typically we will count our attendance, and that's a good thing, but our influence is greater than our attendance. And I'm thankful for the good, godly influence that this lighthouse has in this region of the country. Thank you for the good music tonight, and it is good to see Commonwealth Baptist College graduates. Beatrice, I didn't recognize you when I spoke to you ladies back there, and I asked the preacher, I said, "Is that Beatrice?" And he said, "Yes," and I'm glad you're here. God bless you, and it's good to see graduates. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to serve the Lord. This is our 25th year at Commonwealth, our 25th year, and we're really excited about what God is doing, and we just started a church in Guam, a church you support, and we appreciate that very much. We just started a church in South Cape Town. We get it backwards. Cape Town, South Africa, a church that you support, and we appreciate you working with us, and what a joy it is to see new churches started. Our next church will be in a town that I've prayed for a good number of years, but difficult to find a piece of property, and a gentleman has just promised a piece of property that we can start a church on in Moorhead, Kentucky, which is between Ashland and Lexington, and we're really excited about that. I believe we have an opportunity to make a difference. I believe God has given to us a measure of mercy yet again in our nation, and it is not time to rest. It's time to work.
Yes.
It is time to work, and so I look forward to the work ahead. If you'll stand with me, we'll read from my favorite book in the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. And if you're able to stand with me, stand with me. And we'll begin reading in verse number 8. And we will read through several verses here. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 8, "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." That's what preaching is. A fellow asked me the other day, honestly he did, he said, why would you be against just changing the words in the Bible so we can understand them? I said, because they're not our words to change. They're God's words. Those are the words he spoke. And that's what teaching and preaching is about, is to give the understanding. Then verse number 9, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them," now you're going to like this verse, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet." I knew you'd like that verse, and you can just take that verse to your doctor and say, "Now, doc, I'm just doing what God said to do." It doesn't say how much. I'm sure there's a limit on it, but that's what it says. And then he said, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. And I want you to underline this phrase. I want you to make note of it. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is your strength. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the preaching of your word now. I desire to be a blessing with all of my heart. And Lord, while we can prepare and we can get ready for church, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And we hunger for that this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. As we live and serve in life, we use up valuable resources that are required to serve the Lord. Resources that must be replenished constantly. Now, we understand that physically. We understand how that works physically. As a car uses up the fuel, we put more fuel in the car. We don't sell the car when it runs out of gas. We put more fuel in the car.
Yes.
And that's just a natural thing. We do that, and we do that more often and pay more than we enjoy paying. But nevertheless, we understand that. It is typically a common practice that when the day is ended, folks will put a cell phone on a charger, and most of the time leave it there in the night, and so in the morning battery is replenished, and we use up the battery, and so it has to be replenished. We constantly refuel our bodies to keep them from being dehydrated or without strength. A fire must have wood or fuel to keep the fire burning, to keep the building warm. So we must refuel the things that give us the energy to keep serving the Lord. I want you to get that picture. We have to replenish the fuel that provides the strength to accomplish the task. We put fuel in the car. We put wood in the stove. Or when I was a boy, we used coal quite a bit. And we used coal in the stove. We replenish our batteries for our cell phones. And the truth is, spiritually, we have to replenish the strength to serve the Lord because we use it up. We use it up in serving God.
Yes.
The Bible tells us here what the fuel is and what is the provision for our strength. And he says here, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't need the joy of the Lord just to have the joy of the Lord. I need the joy of the Lord to have strength to do the will of God. I'm not going to chop wood if I'm not going to use it in the fireplace. Nobody's going to just say, do you have a fireplace? No, I just like chopping wood. But sadly, there are Christians, they focus on joy, but the focus of the book of Nehemiah is not joy. The focus of Nehemiah is rebuilding the wall. And in rebuilding the wall, they use their strength, and the replenishment of that strength is the joy of the Lord. And that's very important to understand the purpose of the message tonight. Now, as you read the chapters, you find that they work on the wall for a while, and then they would refuel, and then they would go back to work. The feast and the holy days were a part of their lives that God had established, and that would refuel their joy, and the joy would give them the strength to do the work of rebuilding the wall. In this passage of Scripture, we find the process of that. There would be the reading of the law. By the way, no revival has ever taken place outside of a reading and an understanding of the law.
Yes.
The emotion can be a part of revival, but that's not the purpose of revival.
Yes.
Revival is not the stirring of the emotion. Revival is a stirring of the purpose to rebuild the wall.
Jeez.
America needs a revival. What does that mean? We need a restoration of our holiness, of our walk with God, our service for God. We don't need just to have an emotional service. I'm not against emotion in service. In fact, I like to see a little, and that's always a good thing. Yes. But that's not the purpose. That is that is an addition. That is a blessing. And revival was always connected to the reading of the law. And as you read it, you find that what we do yet today, there's the preaching of the Word of God. There is the altar call. There is the changing of a person. There's the cleansing of a person. And then I love what Nehemiah says. He said, all right, you've wept. You've made things right with God. And now it's time to rejoice. Let's have dinner on the ground.
Amen.
Now, I grew up in that kind of place. I grew up in the mountains where you'd have a good old-fashioned revival meeting, and then on Sunday, you'd have dinner on the ground, and you'd have... Now we knew that you didn't pour food on the ground. That's not what it meant. But you folks, I forgot where I am. I don't have to explain smart things to mountain folk. You know what I'm talking about. And so Nehemiah said, we have done business with God. Now let's get back to work. Let's restore the joy, because the joy is our strength to fulfill our purpose.
Yeah.
Now, we need strength to serve the Lord. We need strength to fulfill our responsibilities in our family and in our marriage. We need strength to fulfill the work God has given us to do. We need strength for ministry. Jeremy and I were talking about this coming up here. After Sunday, boy, you're not just tired, you're empty.
Yes.
I mean, you look on the dashboard and it says 0 miles to empty. And boy, I'm telling you what, you just go home, and at the end of the day on Sunday night, I mean, after all day of the Saturday work, but I heard this and I hear it week after week after week on a Sunday night. Preacher, I sure am tired, but it's a good tired.
Yes, sir.
It's not a bad tired, it's a good tired.
Yes.
When you look at the numbers and you realize, I believe yesterday in our bus ministry and in our Spanish church, and that happens in our old property, there was right at 1,000. And I always say this, and it's not just a miracle to pick up 1,000 kids on buses. It's a miracle to get all 1,000 back to the same address where you picked them up. And that's always a blessing. We got them all back to the same place, and I was glad. We didn't swap any kids or trade any kids, and we got them all back. And then you look and see, there was 45 trusting Christ as Savior, and there were folks that followed the Lord in believers baptism. And so you wear out. You don't throw your phone away when your battery dies, you put it in the charger.
Yes.
You don't throw your car away when it runs out of gas, you pull into the filling station. You don't sell your house when you don't have any wood for the fireplace, you go chop some wood for the fireplace to keep it warm. And when it comes to the Christian life, when you get tired and weary, you don't quit serving God, you just find what you need to refuel for strength to keep on going. So I found out what the strength is, and the Bible says, oh, I love it, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
So I got to find out where to get this joy.
Man.
I got to find out where to get this joy. Do you get it at Six Flags? I think not.
Nope.
Do you get it at Hershey Park? Well, it's a good try, but I think not. That's not where you get it. Now, I'm a little concerned, and I'm serious about this. I fear oftentimes Christians follow the world when it comes to times for resting and vacation, and oftentimes vacation is where tired people go get exhausted.
Yes, sir.
But in the Bible does teach us how to rest, and it teaches us how to restore our joy. And if I can restore my joy, I can fill the tank up and I can have strength to rebuild the wall.
Yes.
So I went through the Bible looking for filling stations for joy. I went through the Bible and said, now where can I get more joy? I've got to keep putting joy in the tank, because joy is the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not against golfing, but golfing is not one answer of where to get joy. I'm not against it. I'm not against it. In fact, you may learn words or remember words you were supposed to forget when you go golfing. I don't know. I'm not against hunting. I'm not against fishing. I'm not against that. That's not where the joy of the Lord is. And I'm not against it. I think it's good. I think it's helpful. But the joy of the Lord. Where do I get it? First of all, I get the joy of the Lord when my sins are forgiven.
Yes, sir.
Psalm number 51, verse number 10, 11, and 12. The psalmist had come to the place that he had lost the joy of the Lord. When he lost the joy of the Lord, he lost his song. He couldn't even stand to hear others sing, let alone him sing himself. He had no strength for the work. He had no strength for the ministry. And in Psalm 51, David comes to God and he begins in verse number 1, asking God to forgive him, asking God to wash him, asking God to cleanse him, asking God to purge him. And when he came to verse number 10, he said, Lord, would you restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Amen. Now, he didn't want joy just to have joy. He wanted joy to put in the tank, because the joy of the Lord is the strength to get the work done. Yes. I don't want to go to a conference just to have joy. I want to have joy so I can serve the Lord. Yes. It's interesting when you study the life of Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll find Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and Philippians chapter 4, you'll find that Paul talks about joy and he talks about strength. Joy and strength. Rejoice in the Lord. I love that verse, until he said, in all things. I can rejoice in a lot of things, but he said, rejoice in all things. And again, I say, rejoice. And Paul found that the strength he needed to serve the Lord came from joy. Now, I want to tell you something. Joy is quite a motivator. When you're looking forward to something, the Bible says this of the Lord Jesus, that he despised the shame. Oh, he despised the shame. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured all of that and he went to the cross. What was the joy that was set before him? To see you and I know Christ as Savior, yes, and for us to receive him and our lives to be changed, and that joy. It's amazing what joy will do. It's amazing what joy, how much joy, how much strength joy will give you. You know, it's tough getting up every morning to go to work at 5 o'clock every morning. But it ain't too tough to get up at 4:30 to go deer hunting. It's not. You know why? Because there is a joy. There is an anticipation, right? Am I right? I can say we have 5 children. You've heard me say this. 5 children, 3 boys and 2 dramas. We have 1 drama left at home. And she is a senior in high school. And I can say, Laura Beth, it's 6:45. You have anything to get ready for and a test? No, Dad. She said, can I sleep till 7:15? And she knows devotions is at 8 o'clock. And we live very conveniently just across the road from the church and from the school. And she'll say, now 7:15's it. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you ain't up by 7:15, I'm going to get you up. Aren't I, Jeremy? And I know how to get you up. But now on days that there's a ball game, I don't even have to say anything at 6:45. They're just an excitement. Mom, can I have a couple of fried eggs this morning? I got a ball game today. See, there's a joy. That's how I want to serve God.
Yes.
I mean it. That's how I want to serve God.
Yes.
And so I found what my strength is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So you can't have the joy of the Lord with sin in your life.
That's right.
I did come to preach. That's what you asked me to do.
Yes, sir.
And you can't have the joy of the Lord with sin in your life. We've got to daily ask God to search our lives and to be clean. We don't want to get right with God once a year. We want to get right with God every single morning. Yes. I love the prayer of the psalmist. It said, "Search me, O Lord, and try my heart. I'll see if there's any wicked thing in me." Every time I read that verse, I think of, now my mother has been a widow since she was 39. Dad's been in heaven 40 years. And my mom has worked for me all of these years. And I can tell her, Mom, I've got that room cleaned, ready for Sunday. She'll say, "Let me see." And she'll say something like, "Well, you've got it ready to be cleaned anyway. You've got it ready to be cleaned." Now she's the Holy Spirit when it comes to cleaning. And she can find things. If you ever work with her, I mean, that's just the way she is. And sometimes I think it's all as well between me and God. And I'll say, "Holy Spirit, you try me. And see if that, you see, I want to be clean before God. And when I know there's nothing between my soul and the Savior, yes, there is a joy. I need that joy. You know why? The joy of the Lord is my strength." Yes. Let me give you another one. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 16:11. Psalm number 16:11. This is a good one right here. Psalm number 16 and verse number 11. This is the last verse of Psalm number 16. This is a good one. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Yes. The Bible says here's where to get a full tank. A full tank of joy is in the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you, there ought to be some times that we spend time with God that we're not asking for anything, and we're just coming to say, "Lord, I'm not coming to ask for anything. I'm just coming to spend time with you."
Amen.
Now this is true. I've been invited and asked to do a lot of things. I travel every week. In the last 8 weeks, I've traveled both Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday. And I've been in my pulpit every Sunday and every Wednesday. And it's been a busy schedule, but I've been invited by a lot of folks to do a lot of things. "Preacher, why don't you go fishing with me?" I can't. "Why don't you go hunting with me?" I can't. And I haven't. I don't think I've gone for 10 years. Brother Bush asked me, he said, "Brother Fugit, why don't you come early and go hunting?" And I said, "I can't." And then I said to Jeremy, I said, "You know what, Jeremy? Brother Bush asked me to come early and go hunting. If you'd go with me, I'd go. Because you know what? I don't like hunting near as much as I like spending time with Jeremy."
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'll never forget when Joel, our oldest, Jeremy's the second, Joel, our oldest, I asked him, he was 15 years old, and I said, "Son, what do you want for your 16th birthday?" And I thought he would say a new Mustang or something, and we would have a good laugh, and then he could ask for something else, you know, reasonable. And I'll never forget what he told me. He said, "Dad, I'll tell you what I'd like to have for my 16th birthday." He said, "I know you're busy. I know you are, and I know you travel and you preach every week, and this is really big, but I want to ask you." I said, "What is it?" He said, "I'd like to spend the whole day with you, just me and you spend the whole day. That's what I'd like to have for my 16th birthday." Now, if that meant that to my son, and by the way, we did spend that day together.
Amen.
And it was a very special day. And I mean this, I've never gone anywhere with preachers or with other folks that have asked me to go places unless I can go with my family or at least a part of my family. Can I tell you something? If we ever came to the place that we recognize the joy we can receive by just spending time with God and saying, "God, I'm not going to ask for anything. I just want to spend time with you and tell you thank you. And I want to praise you for what a great God you are." If you've never done that, dear friend, I want to tell you it's a feeling. It's a filling station for joy. He says it right here. "In thy presence is fullness of joy." In thy presence is the fullness of joy. And I can get joy. I don't want joy for joy. I want joy for strength.
Amen.
Because my strength is to rebuild the wall around the city, to use the sword and the trowel. By the way, his purpose was the trowel, and the sword was to protect the trowel. My job as a preacher is not to get up and use the sword every morning, but use the trowel every morning. And somebody gets in my way between me and using the trowel, I'm going to take the sword out of the sheath and take care of the enemy.
Yes.
Then I'm going to get back to rebuilding the wall, but I've got to have strength to build the wall. And the place I get the strength is I get my sins confessed and forgiven, and second of all, in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I must move quickly. Number three, joy is in obedience to the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says this: walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then it says the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And he goes on to list those 9 characteristics. So if I walk in the Spirit, the result of walking in the Spirit is joy.
Yes.
I get to have joy. Ah, but wait a minute. The joy of the Lord is not just to put in a pile outside the house. Oh, no. A joy is to put in the tank, because
yes,
joy is
sir.
My strength in serving the Lord. I've got to keep refilling the joy, because I use up my strength. I use my strength in serving God. I
yes.
use up my strength, and so do you. You use up your strength in your marriage and the rearing of your children. And if you have toddlers saying no 10,425 times a day, you get tired of saying no. And you ask, when and when and when does this end? It doesn't end. It multiplies when they get 13.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going. Ah, but dear friend, we get weary. But we can't be weary in well-doing. We have to have a renewing of our strength. Where do we get a renewing of our strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
Let me give you another one. Joy is found in delighting in the Word of God.
Yes.
Psalm 119, verse 111. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. The Bible tells us that there is joy in the Word of God. Now,
yes.
Now here's what folks are telling me. Folks say to me often when I ask them, now I'm going to ask you a serious question. Are you reading the Bible every day? And here's what folks will say: I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I read it, but I don't understand it. How much do you read it? Well, I read chapter 2. I didn't understand, so I quit. I said to a fellow, I wasn't trying to be funny, but it sort of was. I said, well, you're still married. Do you understand her?
Huh?
But we keep trying, don't we? Sure we do. My wife's been sending these things on. It's called girl math. And she shows me how much money she saved me. You know, she saved me probably in 37 years. She probably saved me $1 million. I'd have been poor as can be had I not married that girl. She told me Saturday, she said, this is male math. And she sent me a thing. She said, the husband, he figures it like this. He'll do the job himself rather than hiring somebody to do it, which means he has to buy all the tools. So he can. Anyway, I hate it when she gets sassy. Now, joy is found in reading the Word of God. Now, listen, whether you understand it or not, we're supposed to read the Word of God. And the more
yes.
we read it, the more we'll understand it.
Yes.
Let me give you a picture for those of you, those of us that are old enough to remember working puzzles. How many of you work puzzles? You work puzzles. I went to a deacon's meeting and fellas were all excited about and I said, what are you fellas excited about? And they said, well, look, we worked this puzzle. And they said, we worked it in 45 minutes. I said, well, my goodness, that's an easy puzzle. It said, well, it says on the box, 3 to 5 years. Boy, those deacons. When we worked a puzzle, you know what we did? The first thing we did, we poured all the pieces out on the table, right? And we turned the color side up, right? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And we found the 4 corner pieces, right?
Yes,
and the blue corner pieces are typically at the top, right? Because that's where the sky is. And the green ones are at the bottom because that's usually where the grass is, right? And we put all the edge pieces all up. We separated them. And we took all the blue edge pieces and we put them together. Folks have spent more time trying to figure out how to work a puzzle than they have reading the Word of God. I want to tell you, you can understand it if you read it and reread it.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me tell you a secret. I believe that has helped a multitude of people reading the Bible. The Bible is not just to be read. The Bible is a book to be heard.
Yes.
Throughout the Bible, there were public readings of the Bible. Today, we're blessed to have recordings of the Bible. And so I have an app on my phone that I can listen to the Bible. And it is divided so I can listen to the Bible in 301 days. No, no, no. 312 days. 312 days. So if I listen to two of those, I can read it. I can listen to it. I can listen to it through in 156 days. All right? Or I can listen to it twice in a year. I'm amazed at what's happened since I started not only reading the Bible, but listening to the Bible. Because as I listen to it, I will then remember what I heard 6 months ago. And then you start hearing words and phrases that are repeated, and your mind remembers those. You're smart enough to play old maid. We're smart enough to read the Bible. Now, folks, listen. The joy of the Lord is not found in vacation. I'm for vacation. You need sleep. You need a break. I'm not preaching against that, but you won't come back with joy unless you use some time on vacation to read the Bible. Unless you use some time on vacation to spend in the presence of God. Unless you use some time on vacation to walk with God. And I need the joy of the Lord, not just so I can be happy. Oh, no, I need the joy of the Lord for strength. Not just so I can be strong. I need the strength of God so I can rebuild the wall. I want to see revival in this old country of ours. And I see hope for revival everywhere I go. And I'm telling you tonight, I get tired in my quest for revival. We get tired in serving God. How do we get over that? How do we get more energy? We restore the joy of the Lord. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I have found that in this book there are places that my joy can be restored. Joy is found in wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse number 23. Joy is found in wisdom. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse number 26. I'm amazed at the difference in the wisdom of God and the wisdom of men.
Yes.
I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed at folks who believe I'm smart when the truth is I just read the Bible enough to have some wisdom from God.
Yes.
And they're impressed by that. But the Bible tells me that I can. Here's what he says. I laugh every time I read it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Just if. Just if. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Joy is found in wisdom. Yes. I'll give you another one. Psalm 78, joy is found in hope. I love the word hope. I don't have time to preach a sermon on hope. But hope is believing God's going to do something. I don't know when he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but my hope is in him. They're standing at the Red Sea. There's no way to get across. There's no way to get under. There's no way to get around. Pharaoh's army is behind them. Lord help. He is a God that maketh a way when there is no way. My hope is in him. And folks will say to me, how do you think we could ever have revival? I don't have to know how. I have to know who. And my hope is in him. And there's joy in hoping. And when I have joy, I have strength. The joy of the Lord is strength. And strength is used for the will of God. Number 7, I found that joy is found in answered prayer. John 16:24. Every time God answers my prayer, it gives a joy. It restores a joy. It restores a peace. It restores something special to know that God has answered my prayer.
Amen.
Our fourth child, Leah, is married to a young man from Minnesota. And he heard me preach when he was 15 years old in a conference in Minnesota, and he came to Bible college and he met my daughter. He finished his school here in a few weeks, and he is starting a church, doing a replant of a church in Minnesota. This past summer I said to him, Liam, I didn't know where he was going or what he was going to do. I knew he wanted to go back to Minnesota. I said, you work for me at the camp, and don't worry about how much you're going to get paid. I just want you to come and learn, and I want you to learn to pray, and I want you to learn to see God answer your prayers.
Yeah.
You see, don't misunderstand me, but when God calls you into ministry, for the Levites, they weren't given a portion of land. All, they just had God, and God said, I'll take care of it.
Yes, sir.
How, God? Don't ask me how. You just stay busy.
Yes, sir.
And I told Liam, we have to begin to pray now and watch God answer our prayers. And so I told him, here's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to call you from Minnesota and say, we have a church that needs a pastor. It wasn't 2 months. A fellow called, a friend of mine, Paul Hoover, and said, I've been replanting churches for years now. You know me. You've preached for me in Milwaukee and other places. I have a building, but there's no church. Do you have a young man that would have interest in going to Minnesota? Last week, I said, tell me what the moving costs are going to be. And he told me what the moving costs would be. I said, how much of that do you have? He had the same amount I did. I said, so what are we going to do? We're going to pray. You give your life to God. Where God guides, God provides.
Yes, sir.
Saturday, I got a note from a fella that I don't think I've ever met him before. And the note said, I know you help fellas plant churches, and I don't know students at Commonwealth, but here's a check for $5,000. Use some of it for students that are there, and perhaps you have someone planting a church that you could help get them moved and get them settled in. You see, that's last week. But my life has been lived seeing God answer prayer.
Yes, sir.
And there's joy.
Yes,
oh,
there is.
Hallelujah. There's joy. I want to tell you, my heart is blessed to hear him say to this church, we're going to help a family. They're coming here. They don't have anything. They're starting all over. We're going to help a family that God's called into ministry. Friend, can I tell you something? When you do that, there is a joy that comes. You know what the joy of the Lord does? It gives you strength.
Yes.
You know what the strength does? It helps you to go soul winning one more time.
Yes.
It helps you in your family devotions and child rearing one more day.
Amen.
It helps you work in the
yes.
Christian school one more day. And so here's what the Bible says. I'm going to read this verse again. I love this verse. Then he said unto them, I don't have to read this part, but I like it. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. I didn't want you to forget that. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be you sorry. Do you see it? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Are you tired tonight? You think, maybe I need to give up my Sunday school class for a little while. Maybe I need to give up my bus route for a little while. Maybe I need to step back and rest. No, no, no. You don't step back and rest. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You find out where the filling stations are for your joy. And when you get more joy, you get more strength.
Yes.
And when you get more strength, you just keep going day by day.
Yes.
Stand with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, there are times that I look in my truck and the dashboard says 0 miles to empty. And there are times on Sunday night, after a very long week, I look and it says 0 miles to empty, and I'm weary and I'm tired. And sometimes I have the thought, maybe I need to cut back. Maybe I need not travel. Maybe I need to give up something. And then, Lord, I'm reminded of all of these places where I can find more joy. I go to bed, I go to sleep. I get up early in the morning and I get in your word and I start filling up the joy.
Yes.
And as I fill up the joy, I just keep on serving you. I pray for the one tonight that may be a bit discouraged and they're just tired. They're spiritually tired. They're emotionally tired. They're mentally tired. I pray, Lord, that you would give them some physical rest, and then from the message tonight, realize I just need to get more joy.
Yes.
More joy for my strength to serve. Bless our invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. He's going to play the invitation song. The altar is open. Why don't you join me at the altar and say, Lord, help me to yield and be obedient and do these things to restore my joy, to get more joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength.